Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between. Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Wowie zowie. Welcome to the Garden Mama Show, friends and neighbors. I have to tell you, this is one of the days of the year that I am so happy I get to wear long sleeves and sandals. It's a very important day. Mark Peaches Patrick is here. He's in short sleeves because he's, you know, better, more weather friendly than me. And later on today, we will be appreciating having a little bit of cooler air around us, perhaps. So that's going to be fun. Listen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Happy spring.
I'm telling you, we're busy, aren't we?
Wow.
My goodness. This man doesn't sleep. Of course, Southern Charm Garden Design just keeps him awake 24/7. So if you're looking for Mark, you can find him here today. This is really, really great. All right, now, welcome in, folks. This is a huge week. We, of course, begin the week with the beginnings of the celebrations of Palm Sunday and Passover, and then we move straight through and through my very favorite day name, which is Maundy Thursday. I realize that's not a great happy thing, but I love the way it sounds coming out of one's mouth. And, of course, moving into Easter weekend. There's a lot going on in the garden. This is the time of year when I'm happy to tell you that if the relatives make you a little crazy, you can always say, I got to go prune something. I'll be back in the house in a little while.
I like that.
You like that?
I like that.
It's worth it. It works every now and then. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Garden Mama and Peaches.
Good morning.
And both of y'all here today. What's up?
Well, there's a lot. Right now you're showing a photo at supertalk.tv that I took in Cecile's yard this week. This is buckeyes beginning to form attached to the flower of the buckeye. My buckeye is in deeper shade than hers, so it's still just in bloom, but hers are beginning to make the buckeyes, and it's so much fun. It's a beautiful native tree. April is native plant month, so if you're looking for one, buckeye is a great place to start.
Why would a university name themselves after a plant or a flower? I mean, like that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but what is that connection? Do y'all know, like, with Ohio State and the buckeye?
Yes. There are four species, I believe it is, of buckeyes, and they all grow there.
Okay. So that's the spot.
And besides that, it means that because I had to do this for someone that's an Ohio State fan, I worked with her, you make a candy that is a chocolate shell with a peanut butter mousse in it that looks like the buckeye because gotcha. It's a dark, you know, the buckeye has a dark shell and has a little light spot in it. And I'm telling you what, you do that, you will have every Ohio State fan for 10 miles at your house. It's really fun. There's a great celebration of this plant in part because it is not difficult to grow. People have appreciated it. People have enjoyed it. And frankly, in the springtime, there's not a better pollinator plant.
I grew up with them everywhere.
Yeah, Missouri.
You were close to them up that area.
Yeah,
you grew up in
Buckeyes
there.
Are everywhere. And Buckeye Stadium, the campus of University of Ohio, is a horticulture
You think of it as
I understand, as sports, but we in the horticulture world also are drawn there every summer to an incredible 10 days or so of workshops and international trade shows and all that sort of stuff. It's horticulture mecca.
There's steak mecca for like Kansas and all that area too. You know, Dixon runs up there for the ag stuff for you. So there's a lot happening in the Midwest.
There's a lot.
Would you consider Ohio Midwest? I mean, I know it's not on the western side of the river, but, you know, you're kind of in the middle.
But you're
of
in that mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Particularly when you get into western Ohio, but that's another discussion.
I've been all over Ohio. It's so rural, too, outside of the big cities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, as far as Ohio, the whole state is very fertile for the Buckeyes. Is there a region?
Yeah, it's fertile for everything.
It is.
It looks beautiful.
That's why there's so much horticulture. They can grow anything. When we get One of the reasons that we are so different in this part of the world, I think, and Mark's lived in a further north area than I have, but I believe that because we do have more humidity and we have different conditions, we do have maybe a little bit different attitude about plants. Theirs is, okay, winter's over, we better hurry up because winter's coming at the other end of this,
right.
You know, this several
right.
months. So they grow lots of stuff in a very short period of time, and it is magnificent and beautiful, but it'll wear you out.
Yeah. It will. And, you know, we go for like a marathon growing
yes,
season.
Yes.
I mean, you never really stop.
No. If you're lucky, the winter's just mild enough to, you know, kill a couple of fire ants, and otherwise you just keep growing
right.
Brussels sprouts.
Kill the gnats.
Something.
I know it did not. The gnats.
No, it did not. It absolutely did not.
Yeah, I've been having a good time.
They're very happy to bother everybody
they love
all
my
the time.
Head. It's like the, you know, it's like they love your head. I don't know what it is. It's the smell of your shampoo.
It's a good thing. It's a real good thing that I have bangs today because I have several bites on my head from doing garden work this week. First ever peony bloom for Sarah in Monroe County. That is beautiful. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous one. Really, really wonderful. There's a, I don't know the name of this one, but I'm sure she'll tell us if she knows. When it comes to peonies, that's another thing. We can only grow a couple. It's like hellebores. We can grow Linton Rose, but we can't grow the other ones. You got to go to Ohio
right.
to grow the other
right.
one, or North Carolina or somewhere. But we do have a couple of peonies that we can grow here, and this one's beautiful. Just a lovely, lovely red.
Yes, congratulations. And not everybody here can pull it off.
No, that's true.
There is an art to it.
Yeah, there is. Well-drained soil is the first thing.
Yes.
Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous irises. So beautiful. Red Velvet Elvis, that's one of my favorites. I love that. Beautiful, beautiful iris at McHenry, Mississippi. That's so pretty. Thank you for showing those to us. Ooh, Wanda, that one's gorgeous. You've got Count Pulaski. What a great iris.
We got Mike on the horn, and he has some questions about peonies, if you were
well, we'll give it a try.
Yeah, we will.
Good
right, Mike,
morning, Mike.
Oh, that beautiful, melodious voice of yours. I haven't talked to you in ages.
How in the world are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I am in a ponderance for your divine information towards me. Is you know, I'm a morning glory freak.
Yes.
And this year, I'm going to separate them so I can get seeds this next year instead of having them all mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, is the ground temperature still too cool to plant the seeds for the morning glories?
No, we're good. We're good for sunflowers and morning glories and all of the spring. Not like middle of the summer okra, but we're good for everything else. We're good for the spring things, for sure.
And the next thing. A lot of people don't know that you just throw the seed on the ground or cover it up or you plant it, whatever. But it'd be like a quarter of an inch, something like that. Or just cover mine up, just pat it a little bit. But a lot of people don't know about what scarification or scarification
mm-hmm,
is.
That's
Would
true.
You explain to the people that?
Sure. When you have a big seed that has a rough coat on the outside of it, sometimes the hardest part of getting that seed to sprout is soaking that off. Now, it's intended to keep the seed intact, so it's an important part of its botany. But whether you're going to scarify it, that is to say, I like to think of it as kind of taking an emery board to the side of the side of the seed. Nasturtiums, peas, what else? A lot of things that have those big chunky seeds like that. Soak them.
I thought about using soaking, but do both. I thought about using a baby nail clipper.
That sounds
baby
good.
Nail clipper.
Yeah. Yep. Just make a little. The idea is you're just going to break the surface slightly. Okay.
But don't whack into it. Just,
no.
Just more or less, a little scratch.
We're trying to coax. We're not trying to hammer it.
I'll share a little.
Hammer. Give me the chisel.
I'll share a little.
A lot of people don't know about scarification or
That's
whatever.
That's right. Mark's got something for us.
I'm going to share a little trick that we used to do in the production world, trying to germinate cassia.
Yes.
We would freeze the seed and then drop them in hot water.
Oh, my goodness.
And it would crack
them.
Yeah, it would crack them, you know, sometimes, really hot water. And then we would put them into the germination trays.
I love that.
And it worked.
That's an idea.
And, you know, sometimes it goes along with what the biology of their environment is, and sometimes it's just what will get them to shock enough to get where we want them to go.
Right.
Because, you know, we're not necessarily naturalists.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mark.
Yes, sir.
I got a good one for you. Nellie will tell you what kind of flowers I grow. They are beautiful.
Yes. He has seen some of them. All those morning glories. All those morning glories. It's wonderful to hear from you today. Take care of yourself.
And when are you coming up back to Tupelo?
In May. I'll be there in May.
Okay. I may give you another gift like I did before.
Good, good, good. That'll be fun. I look forward to it. All right, now, we got to get into these texts. We got a lot of people looking for a lot of info today. Thank you for calling, Mike. See you soon. Paula from Dentville says, good morning. She's, as always, thank goodness. What would we do without Paula and our friends listening? There's Madison. Let's see, this is the foundation. Oh, hey, y'all. I have giant bearded iris that I moved from a prior home. They're white. They have multiplied, and I have never separated the bulbs, so they will bloom sparsely. This year I want to divide them. When do I do that? Well, here's the thing. Bearded iris are going to bloom for about a minute. And any time after that, you can divide them.
Any time after
think?
That. Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I have one blooming at the moment.
They're almost like a portable part of your garden.
It's true.
You know, you can take it's that evergreen true. Foliage and pop it wherever you want whenever you feel like it.
Between tree much. Roots, you know, just, as long as you got a little bit of that rhizome above ground so that it gets some sunshine on it, that iris is going to do fine. My problem in growing them is that I always have too much mulch.
Right.
So I need that that elevated area like around trees where the roots kind of stick up, and you can make a little nest for the bearded iris, but you're not actually burying it anywhere so it can stay in the sunshine.
So I've lucked up on a truckload of driftwood, and I'm just kind of plugging them in all around my driftwood.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah,
that sounds
great.
I like that. Let's see.
I saw a guy coming down, I guess it was Spillway or going in and out. I can't remember which direction, but he had a complete load in a trailer
driftwood.
Of driftwood.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
I don't know where he'd been to
That's
get it
nice.
Or where he was going with it, but you could tell it was a treasure the way he had it in that trailer. I was like, man, that's impressive.
Now, we need the trumpets. Do we have any trumpets? We don't have any trumpets. We have cross-pollinated. We have cross-pollinated, y'all. Remember us talking last week about making skewers out of rosemary?
Oh, yeah,
well,
I was in on that.
Well,
yeah.
Well, Debbie did it. Yeah. And she has them. The photos are here from they do Food Friday here.
Yeah. Oh, wow, you know, there they are.
Look at that. How wonderful is that?
Yeah, I'm going to put those
great.
Up.
That's wonderful. And she's also made rum cake for dessert because, you know, she's Debbie. She's from Ocean Springs.
Ocean
she's
Springs.
Wonderful.
Why not? You know, if you live in Ocean wonderful. Springs, you got to live
this
that kind of
great.
Life. Rosemary skewers and
I love it.
8-pound rum cake.
Really, seriously, that's beautiful.
I may have to try that rosemary skewer thing.
It's really fun. I did it the summer that I was handling a rosemary plant for a movie. And it had to be reduced and then moved back to another place. So it wasn't anything I wanted to do. But I had read about this. And taking I probably still have rosemary in a jar somewhere from that. But you take all the needles off the ones that you had to cut and dry them. But then you take the skewers themselves and literally, as long as they're stiff, you just have to wet them so they won't catch fire.
Right.
And I put cherry tomatoes on them. It was the best tomatoes. So delicious. But the olives, people put all kinds of stuff on that skewer. And any chicken, anything that you
I was going to say, I'm thinking meat.
You know.
I don't, you know.
Well, you know.
I love my tomatoes, but.
Well.
You know.
I'll go both directions.
Yeah,
but,
right.
But the flavor that it picks up is delightful because it is
I
rosemary.
Bet.
You know. It's another one
I
of those
bet.
Things that we should probably do more often. Let's see, what do I do with them to divide those things? Well, actually, when you dig up the whole clump, you'll be able to see where the rhizomes are. That's the gray part of the sort of root-looking thing that comes out the bottom of the handful of leaves. And I'm going to say that literally, if you can do it with your hands, it's better than sawing them. But sometimes we have to saw them. You know, sometimes we have to cut them apart.
Right.
But ordinarily, they will just pop apart, and you'll have a cluster of leaves over here and a cluster of leaves over here. If they're thicker than that, you may have to take a knife and go straight down the middle of it. But as long as you're getting, like with any perennial, as long as you're getting some of the leaves, some of the crown, and a little bit of the root, you're in good shape because they're not hard to grow.
Not at all. You know, and I will use, like, plant stakes, little bamboo. You know, if you're mm-hmm. having trouble getting them to be where you want them right away,
give them
a little help.
That's a good idea.
Because sometimes they're heavy.
They can be very heavy. That's true.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. Really nice. Really cool, Jan. Thank you. I'm glad. I hope you enjoy them. I hope they're pretty. There's one that's up the street from me that I have threatened for so many years, but I don't know the people that live there. It's a beautiful bearded iris that has kind of a gold top and a almost tan bottom. It's just different.
Right.
And I think about there's another one that's apricot in that same bed that you don't see. They're old-timey. But I don't know the people, so I don't want to do that. I don't want to get shot. Anyway.
Don't do that.
Sherry and Vardaman, this is a question I don't have the answer to. Y'all are going to have to tell me. Is there a place in North Mississippi to purchase the true Peggy Martin roses? I don't know. Somebody will have to let us know where to do that. I would presume there is, but I can't say for sure. Mine's blooming. Mark stood her up again in the front garden. The poor thing is she has weighed over her trellis twice now, so now she's in a ring of fence. And I don't know if that's going to work either because it's so vigorous. She wants to grow up the tree. So.
I was going under the magnolia, and I'm like, wait a minute.
What is all this?
What is all this?
Yeah. Well, that's what all that is for sure. Diane, these are beautiful. Just beautiful. My goodness.
I'm going to have to write Red Velvet Elvis down because, you know.
It's a beautiful iris.
It's beautiful, but the name is great, too.
Heartbreak is pretty terrific, too. That's beautiful. There are so many daylilies that, like, Suburban Nancy Gale is probably the classic that you can, if you go back and look through it, there's like seven people that are involved in that name, you know, because by now it's gotten so arcane. But yet we look at her and we know who that is. And that's why we give plants a name that people can remember. Red Velvet Elvis. You'll never forget
Red
that.
Red Velvet
one.
Elvis. Yeah. Well, you know, I named one Nellie this week.
Oh, good. I hope that helps. I hope that
you
works.
Hope it helps.
Yeah. Get it growing faster. I'm still looking at Andrea's native azalea from the Eudora Welty sale. Anyway, this is so wonderful. I feel bad pulling up the Rudbeckia that's all around it, but it will take over. Yes, it will. She's growing Byzantine gladiolas. Y'all, that's the old, really bright pink, kind of hot pink. Doesn't look like the other gladiolas until you get up close and you go, that's a gladiola. Sure enough, they're gorgeous. It is. It's something you do have to make room for it. We're going to make room for mine. She's all flopped over. She's got to be divided this year. All right, now, y'all, we got a surprise for you. Stick around. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time. Made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish. Then there is Superior Catfish. Catfish.
Welcome back to the Garden Mama Show. This is Mark Peaches Patrick sitting in for the next few minutes for the Garden Mama. And I have been given a task. It is events in the garden world over the next month. And let me tell you, it's a challenge. I have got a list here that goes from the top of the state all the way to the coast. And I'm going to try to get through as many as I can without upsetting anybody. I don't want to leave anybody out. We're going to start with today's events, and I'm going to start local because this one's already started. Well, it will start in just a few minutes. It's Rosie's Garden at the Reservoir here in central Mississippi. They have got some great stuff going on over there. One of the Rankin County Master Gardeners is working there today. Go by and see them. It'll be great fun. We're going to drop all the way down to Ocala County. FFA is having a plant sale today from 8 a.m. to 1. Then at the Prentice Ag Center, we have the 30th Annual Landscape Symposium. There's registrations. And then let me say ahead of time, some of these places have registration and there are fees. Some are free. Pretty much all of these places are going to have vegetables, houseplants, etc. So if I mention one that you're not aware of, check locally, jump on Facebook. They're all there. All right. Don't want to leave out that one is in Wiggins. Excuse me. Adams County Master Gardeners, 8 a.m. till noon today. Hurry. If you've never been to a Master Gardener plant sale, I can tell you, you want to get there quick. Okay, we don't want to leave out North Mississippi, which, you know, Memphis, you know, that's practically Mississippi, right? I'm sure there's some people in Memphis. The Memphis Botanic Garden from 9 to 4 today, I think, is the last day of their sale. It's been going on for several days. And if you've never been to that garden or to that sale, I suggest you hop in the car and go now. And then we also, in North Mississippi, we have the DeSoto County Master Gardeners in Hernando. Been to Hernando, I think I know a few Master Gardeners from, you know, DeSoto County, then Lee County in Tupelo. Let's go northeast. They're having their plant sale today also. So there's a whole list. You know, we've been talking about getting a helicopter or a party bus and going around to plant sales. I don't know. That would have to be a really fast bus. All right, we're going to jump to October the 13th. And I know this is one of Nellie's favorite places and mine, the Crosby Arboretum on the 13th of April from 1 to 4. Sorry, Lance, if you hear paper rattling.
I was used to that for a long time. Gallo would be throwing them everywhere. You could hear papers.
If you're watching, here we go. You know,
when you just throw it as far as you can. Yeah, that's what I'm used to, the paper tornado.
Who's going to pick it up if I throw it everywhere?
You will, yeah.
Yeah, I know, I will. All right, we're going to go all the way till the 18th of April, and the Marshall County Master Gardeners from 9 to 1 in Holly Springs. That's got to be a fun one. And then we're going to go to April the 26th. This is a biggie. If I leave any of these people out, there's a little bit of controversy about this one, Lance, because
I like controversy.
Yeah, controversy can be good.
It's good, yeah.
Especially in the plant world.
Right. You get a plant eyeballing another plant, you don't know what's going to happen.
Or you get somebody else eyeballing the one you want. I mean, I've seen these things get pretty cutthroat. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah, I mean, I want a Venus flytrap just to put it in the garden to
so
see
you can feed it.
Yeah, I can feed it and see if it'll eat gnats and bugs and all that.
They will.
It will. I need one. I need a whole slew of them, so. If anybody's got the Venus flytrap out there, you let me know. I'm in.
Unfortunately, they're never as big as what everybody thinks they're
going to
be.
Yeah, I want the one off of, what is it? The Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah, I want that one, the big Seymour.
The one that you could feed a chicken to?
Yeah, throw some chicken bones out there. Hey, we do have a question while you're running through all of this list, and I'm not trying to derail your excellence, brother, but we have a question from the 601. Where's the one at the Rez?
The one at the rest. Rosie's
Garden. Threw a kink in your plans.
Let's go here because the one at the rest. Excuse me, people. I'm going to put on my glasses. The actual address, and I'm pretty sure you can Google Rosie's Garden. Let's see here. You know, they don't even have their address on the flyer. But you can go to www.rosiesgarden.org.
There you go.
And find their website. They have all kinds of cool kids activities.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always good because, I mean, you know, it's hard to dump the youngsters off and
right.
then just go play and, for the day.
The friend of mine that's working there has done a fairy garden.
Fairy garden.
And they have taken bricks mm-hmm. and painted them to look like books.
Nice.
And used them for an edging.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have, let's see, garden planting. They will have food, refreshments. And look, they've even got Earth Day t-shirts.
Nice.
They have
And this is the event at the Res?
It's at the Res. Okay. It's out by the reservoir, yes.
Fantastic. And is there a location you have there? You said it was you couldn't find the exact address, read that website again so if folks are interested.
That is and there's also a number. We have six,
pull that mic over to you, buddy.
Sorry, sir.
No, you can bring the mic with you.
I'll bring it with me. We have got www.rosiesgarden.org.
Perfect.
Good that deal. Work?
Yeah.
Hop on the World Wide Web. You know it's in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. And
right?
then I didn't. Now I know you probably had others you meant to go through. I didn't want to.
No,
make
there's still more.
That.
But you know, for the folks that are watching, I mean, this is the FFA.
Beauty.
They're going to have tons of stuff.
And FFA stands for
Future Farmers of America.
There you go. We need a bunch of them.
You knew that, right?
Yeah, I'm just making sure.
And
you're on top of your stuff today. You're like a library, man.
Look, and the Picayune that is
Picayune,
coming up.
What a great place.
It is a strawberries and cream festival.
I would say they're across the street from Strawberryville. So, you know, you're in the heavenly strawberry area. There has to be some strawberry shortcake experts or somebody that knows how to make a great strawberry syrup down there or something like that. I love making strawberry syrup. Just like, you know, it's so good. Oh, my God.
Strawberry shortcake.
Oh, I love strawberry shortcake, man. Come on.
And you might have seen me drink a strawberry daiquiri one day, didn't you?
Yes, I have. Yeah. I'm not going to turn one down either. So.
Look, you get – I kind of like seeing which one of these groups has the most creative graphics. This is Marshall County, their plant sale, and their proceeds go to Kids Plant Camp. All right, let's keep going. I mean, they go on and on and on. So the Rankin County Master Gardeners and the Metro Master Gardeners, which is Jackson area, they've done their plant sales on the same day. And there's been a little bit of Facebook arguing about why did they do that? Well, folks, I can tell you they're both great plant sales. Be waiting at the gate. If you've never been to the Metro Master Gardeners at Minel Gardens, it is.
You know, that's – Sonny mentioned – I've always heard about Minel Gardens, and I've never been. Even as a kid, you'd see the signs on 220, right? And that
yes.
when you see them.
Yes.
And I'd be going to baseball at the old VA fields over there. And I'd always see that brown sign, you know, because it's a park or a
right.
museum or – a green space, and I would always say, man, that sounds cool. I mean, I grew up with an artist grandmother. I mean, flowers everywhere, paintings. I'm like, what is this, Mine Hill Gardens? And, you know, 30 years later, 40
it's
years
a hidden
later,
treasure.
I didn't go see it. So,
it's a hidden treasure.
How do you find this place? Where is it?
It is basically maybe 4 or 5 blocks to the east of I-20 on Clinton Boulevard.
Clinton Boulevard. That's where I would see you. Okay.
And that plant sale literally is BYOW. You know what that means?
BYOW, bring your own
wagon.
Wagon, okay. Yeah.
Literally.
I was going to say wine, but you know.
No, it's wagon. Yeah. It's wagon. Well, I mean, I guess you could do that too. It might be kind of early because thing starts at like 8 in the morning.
Oh, come on now. It's a weekend.
And then the Metro Master Gardeners, not Metro, but Rankin County Master Gardeners is at the Rankin County Extension Office on Marquette Road.
Okay, and that's Andrea asking. You started talking about Rankin Sale. When is it? And is this the one you were referring to?
It is April 26th.
All
April 26th.
It's not too far off.
No, it's not. And I have got, let's see here, we're getting Pine Belt Master Gardeners today, 8:30 to 12 in the Hattiesburg Municipal Center. Don't
want to forget those. The multi-purpose center, that place is nice, man.
See, I knew I would leave somebody out, and that's why I'm like.
Yeah, well, and if anybody's out there and you're listening, and you know, let us know so we can get the word out for your garden celebration and sale.
Right.
You know,
it's a busy time.
It's the season for it, isn't
it? It's a busy time. Let's see here. Who else do we have? No, that's not me. All right.
We got Dog saying, I'm trying to get you guys live. And I said, well, the SuperTalk app, the supertalk.fm, or CSpire TV is where you can get us live right now. You can also take that.
Yeah.
And if
please
you want,
help, Dog.
Yeah, if you want to put it on your TV, anyone, if you're sitting there drinking coffee and you're going, I'd really like to watch this, your phone has a cast feature, and so does your TV.
Right.
So you just turn on your SuperTalk app, or you turn on supertalk.fm on your TV, find the live show, and just send it over to your TV if you don't have CSpire TV. So that's a way you can get it on the big screen. And then we'll be up and running without commercials on the YouTube setup. It takes me a couple hours because I have another show to do right after this with the handyman.
Right.
But once I get the Garden Mama edited and downloaded, it will be available on YouTube after the fact. Around lunch, usually, is about the time I can get that posted and make sure it's good and clean and edged up right.
Good and clean.
Yeah, no commercials and things
right.
like that in it. So you get a quicker version of the Garden Mama show if you want to watch it a little bit later. At lunch, you know, in a replay, you don't have to sit through commercials. You can fast forward and all that good stuff. But we appreciate you listening any way you want to listen. But I know you want to see how handsome Peaches is and how beautiful Garden Mama is. So you gotta you gotta get on the SuperTalk.fm, SuperTalk app, CSpire TV if you want to see it right now.
So I'm gonna do a run. Oh, and we can't forget this one, Pontotoc County.
Man, you got two and a half minutes to get all these out. Yeah.
9 to 2, and the Madison County Master Gardeners is May 3rd from 8 a.m. to noon.
I think I interrupted your first one. What was that, the first one you just mentioned there before the Madison one?
Gosh. Well, we do have the Lowndes County Master Gardeners on April 26th also. Get on, you know, if you're on Facebook, get on there. All these Master Gardener groups pretty much have a website. Their stuff is usually in the events section. I mean, I had to kind of jump around and do a lot of searching to get statewide because, of course, my Facebook algorithm is all Central Mississippi. So,
hey, this is a pretty good comment from Ron in Ocean Springs. I always love hearing from folks down in Ocean Springs because they have such amazing plants. But he has the few carnivorous plants.
We do.
The Miss Bladderwort,
yes.
The Sundew, the Huntsman Horn, and the Jack in the Pulpit, at least that's what I know them by, Ron
yes.
and Ocean Springs. Thank you. That's fascinating.
And Lance, that might be something you could do is, you know, Jack in the Pulpit is an aquatic plant.
Okay.
And you could actually have it in the backyard if you could keep the dogs out of
it. Well, as long as none of those will eat my dog.
No, but you could go out there and, you know, drop, you know, pieces of bacon in it or whatever.
Oh, I'd love to. That'd be great, man.
That'd be a waste of bacon.
Well, no, I mean, I have meaty dog food. I take a couple little chunks of that pedigree select cuts.
There you go.
Let the plant have some. It'll start barking before you know it, the plant.
So, I know that the listeners and the people watching, if we missed any upcoming events,
let us know.
Let us know.
And also blow up Mark's phone with
please.
Southern Charm Land.
Southern Charm Garden Design Services.
And get on him. And if any of this you forget, you know, he's available 24/7.
Oh, yeah, so, anytime. Yeah. Anytime. Wake up and got a plant question, just call me.
That's right. You know, that's what we're here for.
Middle of the night.
And that's what I do. So, you know, take advantage of this amazing information you have and the wealth of knowledge Garden Mama and Peaches have, and just blow up their phone at all hours of the day, right?
Thanks, Lance. They already do that.
Yeah.
They really do. And I put together another list, and, you know, you'll have to keep me abreast of the time. But I decided yesterday while one of
You got 55 seconds.
I got 55 seconds.
And you got to have an out. So
when we come back, we're going to go through Peach's top 10 garden accessories, and you won't believe what number one is. come on back and join us for the Garden Mama Show. We'll be right back.
Tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Residential propane use is affordable, efficient, safe, clean, and a reliable energy source that you can count on. Let propane enhance your home today. Visit mspropane.com to learn more. Energy for everyone. Propane. That's mspropane.com. mspropane.com.
Why'd I go?
Yes, Lance. Well, welcome back to the Garden Mama Show on Super Talk Mississippi. This is Mark Patrick Peaches setting in for the Garden Mama for just a few minutes. Before I get to Peach's top 10 garden accessories, we have a question from Ron. No, not from Ron. I don't have a name
from
here.
From the 601. Yeah.
Asking about how to treat fire ants in a vegetable bed. Do not use ornithine in your vegetables, please. A little boiling water will run them out, and then you can treat them when you get them out of your raised bed. There's really not a good chemical to use around vegetables to get rid of fire ants, you know.
Once you run them out of there?
Then you get them.
Yeah,
you
but
know.
Is there something, is it, you know, anything you can encircle, you know, the bed with, say, that, you know, is maybe away from the organic material you may want to dine on?
Yeah.
And not
you know,
want to get Roundup all over yourself.
Right. Get, you know, get far enough yeah. away from your bed and you can use any of the products, but you just don't want
How far away would that be?
Gosh, you know, and that's 3 feet, 5 feet.
Because you don't want any contamination.
Right, exactly.
And also, if it's downhill, you don't want to spray behind
you don't
it.
Want, you don't want to run off going into your, you know. And
Because I think about that stuff, too. That's a great question. Like, right,
it is a great question. You know, challenge. Right, exactly. Your favorite tomato tastes like ornithine. That wouldn't be a good thing. So I stumbled across something else you really like, Lance.
Mm-hmm. Papers. Oh, no. What you got there?
This is a new streaming station on one of the major channels. Music for Plants.
Oh, wow.
I listened to it last night.
It's for people that like plants?
No, it's for your plants.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought you meant.
I listened to Too Sleepy Summer last night because that's for shade plants.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, all mine listen to like Lunatic Fringe, Red Rider, and
of course,
stuff. You know, The Smiths, How Soon Is Now, and
we have really different taste in music.
No, it's not that. It's just they're listening, you know, because they're next to me while I'm listening on the porch. So I probably ought to play something more plant friendly. You're saying instead of like what I like,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Give them some love. What were your
top 10?
Yeah,
we're going to start with 10.
Okay. Yeah, that's the way I like to roll.
Yeah, and get to number one.
Mm-hmm. Save the best for last.
And this is a collaborative effort. You know, while I was in the local garden center yesterday, people I ran into, because I run into people I know everywhere, I'm like, what's your favorite garden tool? Ba-da-da. So, number 10, a small pitchfork. Not a huge pitchfork. A small enough one, you can handle it. It works great. Believe me, there's one in my truck at this moment. A tarp. any size, shape, color, doesn't matter. Very handy. Myself and my employees use them all the time. A wheelbarrow. It came in number 8. Number 7, a handheld battery operated chainsaw. If you don't have one of those, folks,
get one.
Be safe with it, but you'll use it every day, honestly. A sharpshooter or a spade, you know, that's up to, you know, personal opinion. I like my
sharpshooter. Is that the narrow one?
It's the long,
narrow spade? Okay.
Yes, and I mean, you can use it in containers, everywhere. Number 5, a collapsible leaf rake, the ones that fold down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Number 4, a shrub rake. You know what a shrub rake is? Little, small.
Oh, yeah.
It's
okay.
About,
is it the wire one?
It's about the, well, the,
or the
metal use,
one
they're
or
plastic.
Plastic, okay.
A lot of times. And they're about the size of a dinner plate or smaller.
Yeah, they got the longer arm.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can remove stuff. You know, that's what I keep in the back of my truck so I can reach my shoes.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah. If you can learn to tie them with that,
I know you can't.
That's expertise.
You can't tell this if you're watching, but I'm about 5'4".
Yeah.
Okay. Number 3, good pruning shears. Good ones, sharp. You know, and you get what you pay for, folks.
And you're not talking electric shears. You're
no, I'm talking shears. Hand shears. You know, you get what you pay for. But if you can get one at a low enough price and it only lasts for a year, because, you know, us gardeners, we tend to misplace things.
And wear them out.
We wear them out and we lose. Well, I don't know if everybody loses them, but I do. I didn't, you know, I forgot to put duct tape on my list.
Well, that's a necessity for anyone. Right?
Zip ties.
Duct tape. Yeah.
Liquid Band-Aids didn't make my list, and it should have. Number 1. You know what Peach's number 1 garden accessory is? Are you ready?
I'm ready, man.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
A Bluetooth speaker.
That's one. To play the plant music for the plants so they don't revolt.
Or, you know, a little,
or whatever you want to listen to.
Confidence builder.
Mm-hmm. You probably have the Bluetooth speaker so you can listen to your cell phone garden model.
I can, well,
With your ego, huh?
Yeah. Usually it's so I can hear my phone notifications going off in case, you know, in case mom's calling.
Yeah.
That's the most important one.
Get too far away from mom. Yeah. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
And what's the best way to prune an autumn fern?
That's what I was about to get to. Shears.
What is an autumn fern versus the Kimberley and all that? Is that a name?
An autumn fern is a perennial fern. And the reason it's called autumn is the new fronds as they come out of the ground are a bronzy color.
Okay.
It's a beautiful fern, and over time they can get huge. But shears is the best way.
Now, when you're pruning a fern, though, are you cutting off? I mean, like, so they have a long, 12-inch type frond with all the—
You want to go all the way to the base of the plant. You don't want to leave a stem sticking up, you know.
But even when you have one that's kind of coming back, you want to make sure you have cut everything down to dirt level, or is there a half inch?
Go down to the crown of the plant.
Okay.
If it's looking bad. But a lot of people don't know this. When you're doing this, wear gloves because the oils in your hand are not good for the ferns.
Right.
Because they close, the spores
they absorb
and things.
It on, yeah.
Right, and it'll burn them. But trim them low. Go all the way down to the ground.
And take it down to the crown.
All
right.
You did that on purpose, didn't
you?
Yeah.
I'm a poet and didn't even know it, huh?
Driving at the moment. Won't be able to respond quickly.
Got a mason jar in there. Yeah, it says.
Okay.
But he was asking about putting something in a mason jar, but it didn't have the mason jar, but decided to use a plastic style container with a lid on it, and that'll work. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of like that. It's like a little greenhouse.
A little bit more room, too.
Why not? Go ahead, Ken and Jackson.
Ken's rocking with his table setting, too. It's nice.
Yeah.
So they eat some good meals there.
Okay, here we go. I like this. There's no name. I don't see the name.
Sometimes you don't. You just got to go with the 769.
Mr. 769. I bought a pair of clean Bluetooth earmuffs. They reduce the noise. You use mowers and weed eaters. There you go.
Yeah. Hey, and I want to go back to a previous text that the 769 brought us Epic Donuts, and Madison has the Cronut. Have you heard of the Cronut? Because I was turned on to the Cronut lately. And
I have not heard of the Cronut.
I had the new Flowood mayor, Kathy Smith, even texted me the other day. Said, the place in Flowood, Divine's got an amazing Cronut. I said, all right, we're meeting there one day. You got to teach me about the Cronut. And then Lucian Smith, the guest host this week, was like, you don't know about the Cronut? And I'm like, no, what am I missing here? So apparently it's this amazing donut called the Cronut.
Well, what do they do to it?
Ah, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
And we're bakery people.
And that's in Rankin County.
You can get them around town, apparently. Yeah. So thanks, 769. You got Epic Donuts, and I think Divine also.
Epic Donuts. Uh-oh. Dog finally got it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So now he can see us.
See how handsome you are.
Yeah.
A smiling face and well-shaved and manicured.
Yeah.
I love
and
it.
By the way, thanks for schmoozing my mom the other day.
Oh, she was awesome. That was great.
You did really well. You did really well.
We had a good time that day.
Yeah,
too.
We did. So I covered my top 10. If y'all have any ideas for my list, let me know. And we'll be right back at the Garden Mama Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, April 26th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Think for a moment.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Welcome in. This is the Garden Mama Show. Really nice day today. I have to tell you, Mark, we've got yet another. Did y'all do the cobra head in your tool thing? Because now we've also got Ron from Ocean Springs telling us about his favorite digger, which is a very cool-looking tool. We all need tools, you know. We need tools that no one else likes so we can hide them and use them. Nobody will borrow them.
I should have done a top 20.
Well, there's at least,
I did a 10.
There's at least 20.
Because I wanted to get that Bluetooth speaker in there. Because, you know, I have a really large one that I take around
I think I've heard that one a couple of times. Yeah,
I think my neighbors have heard that one.
I want to talk right now about a question that has come, frankly, too many times this week, and I didn't even think about it getting that hot. I didn't think about it getting that humid. But everybody wants to know, how come my roses are not opening up properly? Because a lot of them are. Like, for instance, you drive by and you see the knockouts, and they're just fully gone. They're beautiful. Well, they happen to be a rose that can take a whole lot of humidity. They were bred for that. And, you know, but when you ask, why won't these things bloom, there's usually more than one reason. Sometimes it's simply that the weather has not cooperated. And in that case, it can be that it just got so humid and so hot that your roses balled up and went crazy on you. On the other hand, sometimes it's the variety. If you're growing Belinda's Dream or Peggy Martin, you're not going to have this problem.
No, not at all.
You know?
Not at all.
So sometimes it is the variety, and there are lists of humidity-tolerant roses that you might be interested in, but always ask, frankly. If you don't see anything on a listing and you're just learning about it, certainly ask a question, because sometimes that can be the exact reason why it just won't work. When they don't open to... The other problem that I think we see is when the rose balls up, it'll get a little bit of a gray fringe on it.
Right.
Well, my friend, that is not your friend. That is, in fact, Pythium.
Yes.
And when Pythium's everywhere, but it's another, you know how fungus work? You got to have the right host, you got to have the right fungus, and you got to have the right conditions. And when all three of those things intersect, you end up with a rose that will not open. Because of that particular problem. By the way, cut those off. Don't leave them in the garden. Don't
right.
get them out of there. I'm not saying set them on fire, but
And I'm getting a lot of text about rosette disease this year.
There's more of that than there has been.
I'm seeing it a lot.
That's basically when the new growth comes out and turns bright red when you know it shouldn't.
Right.
That's the only description I know to give of that.
It looks a little... odd, twisted, like it's a funhouse mirror, maybe?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like it might just happen once, but it doesn't. It happens more than once.
Yes, it does. It does.
So we have to worry about that. Thrips are still a big reason why roses don't open. And my concern about thrips is that we don't know that we have them until the rose doesn't open.
Right.
So if it just won't open and you don't have these other conditions, cut that rose bud in half. And if you see little commas in there that look like they're moving,
You've met thrips.
And that's what, I mean, to me, that's the only thing I know that they look like.
So. And have on your best readers when you're looking for
them. Oh, yeah, you will have to look or squint really hard.
They're teeny tiny.
The way to get rid of them, of course, is first of all to cut those flowers off and get them out of your garden. But you may need a systemic for this. You may need something like spinosad or neem that has a little bit longer ability to do some concerning. It's a little bit of getting those thrips out of there, because they're not easy to get rid of once you have them. Downy mildew will cause your roses not to open, too.
Yes, it will.
And we don't see as much of that. We see more powdery mildew, but sometimes we get downy mildew. And unfortunately, it's not black spot. It's not yellow leaves with black dots on it. The whole leaf looks messed up when you've got downy. So it's another one of those things to look at. Make sure that when you plant roses, when you plant anything, you remember air circulation. I know that the tendency is to plant real close so it looks good and looks full and can shade the weeds underneath. But be prepared. In a couple of years, you're going to have to come pull some of those plants out.
Yes. Yes.
It will absolutely happen to you. But some of those tips came from Antique Rose Emporium. Some of those tips came from Mark and I. If you've got something you want to tell us about roses and how to understand why they're not blooming, let me know. I'm not going to say that drought won't do it, but we're not having a drought this year.
We are not having a drought.
So that's for sure.
I'm taking great advantage of it, too, because, man, you can dig to China.
Yeah, right now you can dig up all those plants I want to dig up in my yard. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ooh, Kenneth's got a good question. He's in Starkville, and he's got a beautiful container that is entirely covered up with Autumn Joy sedum.
Ah.
So he says, what is a good winter companion for this sedum? If it was me, I don't know about you, if it was me, I would take the sedum out of this pot and put like two of them in there with a really colorful Nandina or something else that's going to be loud all winter.
Yes.
Maybe could even hold a few blinking lights if you wanted to decorate like that.
Blinking light.
But,
there you go.
But I do love Autumn Joy. The only time it doesn't look good is the dead of winter. So we need something that's going to be kind of colorful then, I think.
Something evergreen color. You know, there's some great Nandinas out there.
Yeah,
there's
some, and they don't necessarily all make berries, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and they don't all necessarily get 8 feet tall.
Oh, no, that's true. You know? Abelia is another one. We think of Edward Goucher, this great big plant that the hummingbirds, butterflies all flock to in the late summer. But there are other ones that are just tiny and have loud leaves and really are evergreen in a container situation like that.
Well, and the holly world has got me.
I'm on
fire with the holly world.
So
and
fun.
I'm not talking about the kind that make
They're
you,
not
you know,
going to hurt you.
They don't, yeah. They don't draw blood.
No.
But there's some great with chartreuse colors coming out in them. And I mean, they stay compact.
And they're just sturdy. They're just, very sturdy. You know, they're just going to stay there for you. And that's really what we're looking at in a big container like this one. If you do bulbs and pansies and all of those kind of things, you sometimes still have room for a shrub. And I always encourage people to do that. I don't like naked pots. I don't like when everything's, died back or died down. But by the way, you have a lifetime supply of Autumn Joy sedum in this container. That was great. It's absolutely beautiful.
I'm working on my lifetime supply of it. It's coming along. I do have a lifetime supply of Obedient Plant. Thanks, Floaty. thanks to Floating's Flower Farm. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love Obedient Plant. I want Obedient Plant like I want Cashmere Bouquet. I want it over in the corner where it's not going to take over anything else and can just be lovely. Because they are beautiful plants, but they're very aggressive.
Or on the property line.
No,
that's not a good thing, is it?
That's what the neighbor's bamboo was on his property line, and now it's in the middle of my backyard. No. Speaking of, it's catch and release day, folks. If I could catch and release that bamboo, I'd be a happy person. But right now, I think it's going to need a bush hog to get that section back there because it's just gone. It's covered.
It's amazing.
And it's very nice and quiet back in there. You get there, you can't hear the street.
You can't hear anything.
It's very nice, but I don't think I want to be there. It's just it needs a little bit of attention, as they say. Gloria's in Clinton. That's a pretty ground cover rose, though. It looks as if she's got one that's not – you know, that's always the case. When we plant a hedge or something, or we plant a bed or something, why does the third one from the left always give us trouble? It's just as my grandfather would say, the absolute way the world is. He would nod his head and say that. Why is that carrot shorter than the others? Well, it's because of the way the world is.
It's just, you know? Murphy's Law.
Something about that.
And that's exactly why I always keep lots of clay, metal, concrete accessories. You know, if something goes away, I just drop something
in
there.
I like that. Just fill the space and move on.
I am not going to ride around from garden center to garden center. And I'm sorry, folks, but I know you do this.
Yeah.
Trying to find the one that matches the one you have.
It's so frustrating. If you want to do that, go for it. But I got to tell you, bring a sprig of the one you're trying to match, first of all.
Yeah, don't do that to your garden center employees.
But and it'll also drive you crazy in a short period of time because nothing's ever quite exactly the same.
It's never going to be the same.
There are just too many choices out there. And frankly, better plants every year. I like the idea of putting in something that's not quite the same thing, you know, something that's different. This looks like, in this particular picture, I think that's a sago palm that is also kind of not recovered from the freezes. So it might be that this section where the rose is just not as healthy. It might be a little bit too wet. It might be staying a little bit too dry. That would be my suggestion, would be to go just see what's different about that part of the row from the rest. That's usually how you can find out. Usually it'll turn out that that part is a little bit lower, and so therefore it's wetter, and therefore the plant won't quite do as well as it should have. But sometimes, you know, putting in a bird feeder is really the way to go.
A bird feeder, you know.
I understand completely that can be a very good way to go. We talk about so many crazy days that we get a chance to play with and enjoy around here. I'm tickled that today is the day to be aware of teak. Teak trees, teak furniture, teak sailing yachts is my only encounter really with it, is furniture or as one boat that I knew about. But this is one of the most beautiful woods in the world. It's a tropical tree, though, and frankly, it's been over-harvested, so it's very, very expensive. It's very difficult if you have to repair something that's made of teak now. It's very hard to do that, from what I understand. If you have somewhere and you're in the tropics, you know, you might – that's one of the things you might want to plant. But it is a beautiful, beautiful plant. Believe it or not, it's in – it's in Laminaceae. It's in that same group as mint. It's the same family. Yeah. It doesn't grow like mint, but it has that same unctuous quality to it, which is why it smells so good. People will tell you that a teak accessory, a teak statue, or a teak anything, it smells like leather. It didn't smell like that to me. It smelled more like the day after a campfire, and I like it. It's a nice – I guess that is kind of leathery, but it's a woody smell. Definitely different. One of those things, that many cases, unfortunately, the biggest forests of teak which is such a beautiful wood, are in places like Myanmar. And we, right, we not only can't get there, but the conservation efforts there are not very good to know whether or not we're going to be able to get any more. So it's a beautiful tree, though. More so, fun, perhaps.
And if you've got it, keep it.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be there forever.
Yes, it's a wonderful wood.
Just so to polish or not to polish?
Ooh.
I know. I had that conversation with somebody the other day.
Probably not.
I like it pretty.
Well, I might seal it, but I probably won't.
Seal it. Yeah.
I won't do anything.
Put a little.
I'm just, you know, I have a crepe myrtle wood bowl that's 100 years old. It's not that old, but it's as old as me. And I don't, I've seen them polished and done up, and I won't do that. I like it natural.
Natural.
Yeah. On the other hand, it's not greatly used, so if it needed to hold something, I might have to take better care of that way.
You like that, Lance? I tried to start some controversy.
Well, we'll have a little bit of controversy. We had last week or the week before, we had the wonderful anniversary of the character to begin warp speed in the Star Trek series, but tonight is Yuri's night. That's a real thing. That's not fantasy. This is not fiction. Yuri's Night is popularly known as World Space Party. Everybody has a big party about space because it commemorates the first man to launch into space, whose name was Yuri.
Greg Aaron.
Here you go.
Yep, the very one.
Well, we have Miss Mabel on the phone, and she has a question about a rubber tree that she has.
Oh, fun. I love ficus. Good morning, Mabel. Thanks for calling the Garden Mama Show.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
Friend gave me a rubber tree, mm-hmm, for my birthday, and I don't know how to take care. So I said, I'm going to call Godmama.
Okay. The rubber tree is one of the easiest plants to grow as long as you don't overwater it, because it's a ficus tree, and it has all that latex on the inside of it. So it's almost like growing a succulent. You're going to water it only when it feels very dry, and you can keep it in, mm-hmm, you can keep it in an area that has very little sunlight, or you can keep it in something that has morning sun. It doesn't really matter. It's a very adaptable tree. It's a wonderful house plant, but it's a great porch plant, too.
Oh, it's a house plant.
Mm-hmm. Can be. Okay. Can also be out on the porch.
I'm changing my living room around, and I said, I'm going to call Godmama and find out where to put it.
I love it. Put it so that it gets light through the window, but it's not directly in the sun.
Okay.
Okay, because that, you know, the window can make it a little too hot.
Okay, and what do I feed it with, and how often?
Really and truly, you don't need to feed them, but maybe 3 times a year with just any kind of soluble fertilizer. Anything you mix up in the water to feed something else, you can feed that rubber tree with.
With Miracle-Gro or something?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Well, some of the little small leaves seem to be falling off it, you know, the young leaf that's come on it.
Okay.
That's really what I want to know.
You probably need to give it a little bit more water, and you may need to repot it. If it's real tight in its container, that can cause it to knock off some leaves.
Okay. All right. All right. Then I'll be calling you back on.
Thank you. I look forward to
it.
I love that.
Okay.
You got something, Mark? You got some advice?
I love that plant.
I love that plant.
Yeah, and anybody out there who is not a houseplant person and you want to start,
mm-hmm,
that is one of the
great
best plants to start with.
Great place to start.
Yeah, or Sansevieria, you know.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, for sure.
Both of those. But, yeah, and there's so many new rubber trees. Oh, my God. A lot of that ficus family.
So pretty. I have a Sansevieria, a great big old thing that's got to be divided up. I looked at it yesterday and pushed it to the back of the shelf. I said, not today. not today.
I've got a whale tail Sansevieria that I'm afraid is going to break
fun.
Out of its pot.
Well, good. I'll take that. I like that.
It's having babies.
Let's see what we got here. I don't know what that means. I'll find out, Deb. I don't know exactly what that is. Is there a certain way to help tomatoes and cucumbers with pollination? This is Lisa in Clara, Mississippi. I have art brushes to use, planted flowers around the garden to help attract bees. Just didn't have many last year. I'm a shaker. I'm the one that shakes the stick that you got it tied to, or the cage that it's in, or the trellis if it's a cucumber. And if it's a if you've got a tomato or a cucumber in a container, you know, a small one, that smaller variety, I'll just go knock the container a little bit. Just what we're trying to do is get that pollen to drop onto it. It's going to be self-pollinating, but it's going to have contact with its own pollen to do that. Is that the best tip?
Yeah.
Art brushes help.
Yeah. But a fan.
A fan's a good thing. Get a hand fan and just walk past your plants with them.
I have one of your paper fans in the truck, by the way.
Oh, good.
You might need it later.
Somebody mentioned that to me. She has one from when that book came out in the first place. It's kind of fun. Well, all right, now we're going to take a couple of more texts, take a little time this morning to talk about what's going on in your garden. And by the way, we're celebrating Grilled Cheese Day. We'll be right back.
Here comes the sun. It's all right. It's all right.
We are advocacy, a century of wins, protecting private property rights, advancing technology, sustaining our land, conserving our natural resources, all to pass on to the next generation. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Visit mspropane.com to learn more about propane as a safe, reliable fuel. Learn more about grilling safety, installation safety, general safety, and just how efficient propane gas is. Visit mspropane.com for more information. Energy for everyone. Propane. That's mspropane.com.
And they go, she taught me too many things.
Especially that.
The book I did not write is, I thought I told you that, you know, about advice that I didn't give them that I probably should have somewhere along the way. Welcome in. The Garden Mama Show is here for you this morning. Glad to be with you whatever time of day it is when you happen to be listening. You know, we're really, really fortunate. There's an app for that. You can also listen on a terrestrial radio station. You can go to supertalk.tv on any computer that you happen to have. Or if you're in the world of the world that has those, you can actually see it on your TV. So it's just one of those things. We're everywhere. The rebroadcast on Sunday gets a lot of attention. Thank you all very much for that. And then, of course, it all lands on YouTube, where I will be probably permanently forever. So it's something that goes into the universe long after all of us. There will be YouTube, and someone will be able to come back and say, what were they talking about?
Yeah, it's the Akashic record.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's up there floating around. Even
makes
the aliens
me,
are tuning in.
Makes me very happy. You want to feel like, maybe I'll need to think about that again. Let me go back and look, you know. So as Mark knows now, he's all over the world too. Tell me the name of the rose that you brought. We were talking about roses this morning, and this is one that changes color. It's beautiful.
It's Life of the Party.
Life of the Party.
Hey, grab that thing and bring it up close to one of y'all, because it's
bring it by
to,
your face.
It's hard to change up the.
He's also showing off celery today. That's so pretty.
Yeah, Lance. We're going to have celery again.
There's a lot of celery.
Yeah,
I've been cutting celery from the clipping celery and putting it in things, and it is such a strong taste. I'm really enjoying it, but it's stronger than I remember from last year.
Oh, look, it matches my shirt.
See, it's the perfect color. You've got
it.
You're so coordinated.
It changes colors. It's a Floribunda.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite
mm-hmm.
large. This is year two, and the fragrances.
It's a wonderful fragrance.
It's amazing.
Floribunda, for those of you who don't happen to know, is named because of what it does.
Right.
It is, in fact, lots of flowers. Flowers in abundance, Floribunda. And it is intended to be in bloom all over the planet at the same time. These are not really cutting roses except, for bringing one around to show and to smell and appreciate. It's not got a long stem, but it has a very strong, strong quality as a shrub. It's just delightful.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful plants. This is really good questions. What do I think about blood meal and bone meal in the vegetable garden? Brandon from Boonville is asking this. I'm very fond of both of these things, but you need to know a couple of things about them. First of all, bone meal is not instantaneous. So if you are needing the benefits of bone meal, you may want to put something else in addition to bone meal into your soil, because it takes at least 8 or 10 months before it actually activates. If you're planting a bed for next year, for example, you're going to plant a hillside full of bulbs, this would be a great time to go put bone meal out there, because you'll be planting in 6 months. But it is a good product. It's good to be reusing and recycling what the product is. Blood meal, of course, is another slaughterhouse byproduct, and it is full of nitrogen. So if you have old soil, or if you already have a lot of organic matters in your soil, blood meal may produce an overabundance of nitrogen, which could result in all leaves and no tomatoes, or all leaves and no squash. So that's the only – it's much quicker acting. And I have used – I know y'all were talking about fire ants before and getting them out of a bed. I have on occasion dumped a cup of – blood meal onto a fire ant mound and watch them move themselves out into an area where I didn't mind treating them with something. So they don't like it. And, of course, a little extra nitrogen isn't going to hurt at that point.
Right.
But in terms of incorporating it into your soil, you may want to be aware of how much other nitrogen you have access to.
Do we know why they don't like it?
No. I think it stinks, but it does stink. I don't know why they don't like it. It's probably just irritating.
Yeah,
you could probably do that with other things. It just happens that it works reliably and consistently.
Yeah, I like that. I might have to remember that one.
It's another good reason to have a bag of blood meal around.
Yeah, yeah.
Another great question coming up today. Y'all have heard me talk about the fact that I can't grow squash anymore, but it's not the vine borers that are the problem. I just have had a terrible run with squash. This particular question, though, is really good. I love, how do you get rid of squash vine borers? Well, you don't get rid of them, but there are a couple of ways to avoid getting them in your squash. The first is to exclude them. This is the use for floating row cover. If Mama Moth is flying along and she doesn't see your squash plant, she'll go lay her eggs somewhere else. So if you've got floating row cover on top of those squash plants when they're babies, she can't see them. She won't lay the eggs there. The other thing, if you miss that opportunity, the other thing is to come along as the plants are growing and consistently turn the vines over and look at the back of them. You're looking for a cluster of brown eggs that look like little bumps on the stem. And if they're there, scrape them off. But that's the way to keep from having this problem, because it literally happens. They bore into the vine, and it's several weeks before the vine collapses, so you don't even know they're there. That's why you either have to exclude them or you have to get rid of the eggs in the first place. She says that she's had the problem for a couple of years and she's about to take a break on squash. I took a break on squash. You know why? Because my squash plants kept dying. And I just said, you know what? I have two dog farms. So many people grow wonderful squash. They can outgrow me all day long. And that's so I don't grow squash anymore.
Let somebody else grow the squash.
Yeah,
if any plant in the garden, if it becomes that frustrating to you, it might be time to try something different.
So true.
And come back.
This is supposed to be the part of the week that doesn't make you insane.
Right.
This is not the crying baby. This is not the car that won't run. This is not the job that could go better. This is not the relationship that could go bad. This is your garden. This is supposed to make you happy. And that's why we want it to.
This is coming from, the 60-year-old man that refused to grow tomatoes for at least a decade and a half, and now I'm obsessed with it.
It does happen.
So if I have a bad year, I may need help.
Well, I'm going to need help with this question. Okay. Potatoes. I am not a lawyer. I can't get between people. I can't. Just, my dad is insistent that when we plow the potatoes for the first time, we have to almost completely cover them with dirt, and I believe that is stunting them. Now, the potatoes have not been doing so great. Dad calls it throwing the dirt to them and insists that that's not what's making them perform so modestly year after year. I agree with Dad. You have to put some dirt on them. But if it's – how much is some? You know, right. In other words, you don't need but like maybe an inch or 2 inches, just enough so that they can sprout through it. So it may be a matter of how much dirt he's throwing to them, but it could be something as simple as doing that soil test.
Could be.
If you've been growing potatoes in one place for a while, you may find that you need either some nutrients or you've got nematodes or any number of things can happen. But you may want to do both of those things, but I do think he's right. I want to cover the potatoes when they first start, whether they're field planted or container planted, but not too much. And then I want to come right back again as soon as they get going, fertilizing.
There's a happy medium there.
Somewhere in there, there's a happy medium.
And of course, if you keep doing the same thing every year and you need to change something.
Yeah, let's see. Let me hit my head against this.
It's time to change something. Maybe dial it back.
Just a little bit. I think that's smart. Very, very smart. Laura in Florida says she's going to plant a couple of rows of zinnia seeds and wondered if I should fertilize as I plant. That really depends on what's been growing there before. If it was a whole lot of zinnias last year, you may want to put a little bit of fertilizer in there, maybe half as much as would be recommended for a row of flower seeds. But if it's been growing nothing but grass – Or nothing, nothing but some kind of weeds and stuff, it's going to have enough in it to get those zinnias started. Then if you see that they are not, for example, we tend to seed zinnias really thickly. And if we come back in to thin them out and there's really not that much to thin out, then we probably need to fertilize. But for the most part, they're going to be okay. They're going to do all right. But what a great question.
Over-fertilizing zinnias can be disastrous also.
It brings on so many leaf problems, because it's too lush for the – and it's, the flowers end up smaller. There's just a lot of things like that. Now, if you're growing four sets of zinnias, you start now and you're going to plant again in June and you're going to plant again in October – I mean in August and again in October, you're probably going to need to fertilize in here somewhere. Yeah. But they're just a real low use, and it causes them to be wimpy if they have too much fertilizer on them.
And a good example is if you look at some of the municipalities. I know we have them in central Mississippi, and I'm sure we have them all over the state.
Oh, yeah.
They're throwing seeds in fields, and there's zinnias everywhere.
Mm-hmm. And it's just good soil. Decent. It's not great soil. It's just decent.
I doubt they're fertilizing them much at all.
Not too much.
No.
I cannot identify this rose. My apologies for that. It is pretty. It's purple and very fragrant, and it's an old rose, but I don't know it. If I say anything, it'll be the wrong one. There's too many of them.
Don't do that.
There are too many of them. Oh, okay, good. Y'all have got all this figured out now. We have a technical discussion going on in here. I want to talk to you a little bit about container vegetables. Someone sent me a great question about this the other week, and I realized that I haven't talked about it near as much as I usually do, and I don't know why. I'm very fond of growing vegetables, growing everything in containers. And, well, I remember when I first started growing things in containers, I discovered that not everything fits in the container. You would think that you could start and you could slow things down or you could, but you end up with – 2 bean plants and 6 beans. Okay, so it just you have to realize that somebody out there is having this same problem, and they are in fact doing container varieties, which are particularly good for us in our part of the world, because oftentimes we're trying to grow things in containers and bring them in and out of the safe space. It might get cold again. Okay, let me put these in here. You don't have to worry about putting out the cloche in that case. You just take that container and roll it back into the garage or whatever and keep growing your kale. I like I love that there are container varieties intended, and I'll give you a clue. If you're looking for something and you don't know that it's for a container, if it has the word baby in the title of it, it's going to be a smaller variety. I know that sounds funny, but so many of them, baby leaf spinach, container baby leaf spinach.
Or mini me.
Baby salad spinach. You know, all of these things, there's so many of them. And baby tomatoes are one of the things that you will find early on. But baby turnips you may not think of, and they're really cute. They're no bigger than radishes, but they're such a bright flavor. And they just grow right there in the little container. It's wonderful stuff. I will say that there are a few jokes in container growing size things, like personal sized watermelons. You still have 8 feet of vine. Okay, you need a big pot.
The watermelon's small, not the vine.
But the watermelon is pretty small, so that's something to consider.
I actually have golf ball sized eggplants on my little dwarf eggplant.
I love that. I don't grow that many tomatoes or eggplants in hanging baskets, but those smaller varieties really can do that.
Yeah.
They'll just hang right there and be cute as they can be and produce and produce and produce. The other advantage, of course, are the same advantages that we have in any kind of container gardening. We do not have to have the same amount of water and sun and fertilizer on everything. We can put it in that specific container for that specific plant, and it really can make a world of difference in the way things grow. I'm very fond. I love all of the lettuces and things. Obviously, those things will fit very well. But there's also mini pak choys,
they're so cute.
If you ever buy the ones that are only about 4 inches long, you have seen them. Now, those are grown in a commercial setting in a great big box, but they're still a container-sized vegetable that you can grow yourself, and it's some of the stuff that's just so delicious. Little Crunch container snap peas. I mean, come on. These, I love these names. They're just really fun. The mini snack salad peppers. Well, they're like 2 inches long, but they're as cute as they can be, and they're very tasty.
You know what one of my favorites is?
What is that?
The Dasher cucumber.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is a good one.
It's a good one, and it's not one that you can find necessarily in the store to buy. Sometimes you'll find those little salad cucumbers, but they're not Dasher.
That's a good one.
That's a really, really good one. It is. I have lots of fondness for so many of the – I like peppers anyway. And we've always grown the ornamental ones, but I really like the fact that we now have some. The container chili peppers are actually full-size chili peppers on a little bitty plant. That's great. I don't need to grow something 4 feet tall because I'm only trying to get maybe 10 peppers out of it. Well, you're going to get them. And sweet peppers, baby snack peppers. Those are called yummy bells. They're so
yummy bells.
Cute. Baby pumpkins now. This is really a baby pumpkin. Again, you still got 8 feet of vine, okay? So give yourself an opportunity. But the little joy turnips, the little pink turnips that are so cute, come on now.
I've got to get some little joy turnips.
You know you're going to love them. The ones I'm talking about today are mostly part of Renee's garden. Y'all know how fond I am of her. But even when it comes to things like French mascot container bush beans, you're going to get a lot of food out of a little bitty space. I think you should consider container vegetables. All right, now, we got a little more to go this morning. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thank God for good directions. Turnip grains.
Hey there, homeowners. Sammy the Shovel here with an important message from Mississippi 811. Internet fiber expansions are being added, making it more important than ever to know exactly where your utilities lie when digging on your property. Whether it's simple landscaping or a large project, you need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig. Even with laws in place, safety is in your hands. Do the right thing and call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.com.
Happens to all of us.
Been there before.
You know it's true. I have to say two things. Elvin Bishop is a genius, and Elvin Bishop and Charlie Musselwhite, Mississippi's own Charlie Musselwhite, are the best. So that's just, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up. That's the way to do that one. Such good, y'all are so good. Such good questions. We're going, giving some more dates and whatnot on some of these sales and different things that are going on. Everybody's got good questions and good gardening attitudes today. This program is, quite frankly, a week-long celebration of holidays and people and plants and sales and one thing and another. And indeed, if you are with us, this today is the 12th as we are recording this and doing it live at the same time. I know that's crazy, but we're able to do two things at once around here. We will be heading out from here to Doris Berry's in Pearl. So if you were looking for us there last week, we're there this week. Now, if this is next Saturday, the day before Easter, and you're hearing this, we're not there, and neither are you. So just that's the only piece of the puzzle I have to put in there in as a public service announcement. I have lots of things that I would like to have talked about. I'm going to save most of them because there's so many crazy things going on. Today's licorice day. I don't like licorice, but I love the echinacea licorice. It's a beautiful little plant, and it's just adorable. It's precious. But I'm not a licorice person, which is just as well.
So you're the when you eat jelly beans, you're leaving the white ones and the black ones.
I'm not eating jelly beans anyway. But
yeah, if you did.
If I did.
Yeah,
if
be
I
a whole
did,
bag
if I did,
of
I would be
money.
Eating the lemon and lime ones if I was doing that. The truth of the matter is that licorice is one of those things that people either love or they hate.
Yes.
And it'll raise your blood pressure. So if you need your blood pressure to get raised, you probably want to develop a taste for it if you possibly can. But the rest of us are kind of okay that it's not out there. But it has been so abused over history. It has been given as a symbol of really deep hatred and also really great love and resilience, because apparently you can't kill the plants.
Right.
I like that. Both of those things are kind of nice.
I'll stick with National Grilled Cheese Day. I don't know about you, Lance.
I'm telling you.
I watched a video last night of it was a chef in France, and he had this bread, and he had this huge half round of cheese.
Oh, dear.
And it had this singeing heater above it, and he would take, it was like a half round, so you would take the top little slice off, then they'd burn it, get it all, and then scrape that off into this piece of bread that they had hollowed out and dipped in egg and Parmesan or some kind of cheese and fried it. Then they jam that.
The whole thing.
You put the cheese down in there, and then you take some warmed ham, and they threw that down in there and had like, it looked like a little dill. And put that
You're
on top.
You're going to adulterate my cheese sandwich.
I was going to say, it was like, that I saw that, it was like a grilled cheese, a Gruyere, I don't know what to call those, but man, I was like, I need to go to France, not for any other reason
right
than
now.
Croissants and that.
That's right.
Because, they make like the Monte Cristo sandwich.
Exactly.
And all. I mean,
that's
come
where
up
all
with
that,
some amazing
all those
sandwiches.
Combinations yeah. come from.
But that was a version of that.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
Mark had the grilled cheeses, I'm like, oh man.
Well, when people take up everything as a thing. I've got to tell you that the arguments about what cheese goes in a grilled cheese and which don't are legendary.
Any of them.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely not
that's
true.
Not true.
There are people who truly will not. Pasteurized cheese product either is in or it's out. Sharp cheeses are either in or they're out. There's a certain quality between the meltability and the sharp taste. All these things have to do with which bread you're using and all of these other kinds of things. And people argue about this stuff. It's like trying to play Scrabble with serious people about Scrabble. You can't just make a cheese sandwich. Mm-hmm. You can't just play Scrabble if these people are going to jump on every word that you try to put out there. That doesn't work.
It's like Monopoly, too.
Right.
Somebody gets mad and flips the board and runs off.
That can happen. Yeah. That can be very Teresa moment. That's absolutely true.
But no, I'm with you. I'm an American. You know, so I'm grilled cheese is any cheese, but I'm not very discerning in that regard. Just bring me a grilled cheese. The cheese fritter.
That the cheese fritter is definitely a cheese.
Oh man,
cheese bomb.
I sent you one home.
It was absolutely delicious.
Decadence.
It was just wonderful. It was all the protein I could possibly have needed to go along with the protein and the other thing.
And cheese.
But when we can take something and encapsulate it in that way. I mean, if you say grilled cheese sandwich to many, many people, they immediately think of soup and cheese when they were home and sick, you know, and mama or daddy brought them this joyful thing that was actually just toasted bread. But
see, when I was a kid, we would have the grilled cheese and you'd dip it in the tomato soup.
Exactly.
And that was like kind of how you did it. But
we progressed from there.
But you have to have a bag of Lay's potato chips and a pickle.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Too.
If there's not a pickle, meal is not complete.
See, my house, they hand you the half of the grilled cheese sandwich. You get on your bicycle and keep going, you know, whatever it was you were doing. It's just an
eating and riding.
You know, it's an instant thing. Now, that's not to say that grilled cheese has not begun to be actual restaurant fare. Because
it has.
And if your grilled cheese says brioche, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Well, there's one in Oxford, too, that's the secret grilled cheese. It only opens at a certain hour, and they do some really crazy stuff.
I love that.
It's like fried cheese sticks
with
Cheetos.
Yes, yeah,
that's
fun.
And they have like a whole book of them.
I don't want to have to do it, but I would love to go taste it.
No, if we ever get a chance to go up here, it's my treat. We just got to stay up a little late.
Get out. Go take that disco nap.
Yeah,
go do this.
You got to be ready for it.
A grilled cheese speakeasy? Is that
what it is.
I think that might be
what it is.
I like it.
I like it.
I have flowers on my tomato plant, y'all. I don't want to get out of here today without saying that, because I have been walking past them every morning and jiggling the cage just a little bit to see if I can get some of these starfighter tomatoes to actually make. I've never grown this, but the plants are healthy and happy. I also saw my first swallowtail butterfly larva on my parsley plants, which is why I plant more parsley than I can possibly eat, because I'm always hoping that the swallowtails will find me, and sometimes they do. And this year I think we're going to have more swallowtails than we are parsley. So that's kind of nice. One more herb note for those of you who know. I planted traditional Greek oregano, and I planted something I had never heard of called spicy Greek oregano.
Mm-hmm.
They taste the same.
Yeah.
They're not. I don't know if when they're cooked they might not, but as coming off the plant,
yes,
they're really very similar to each other. Maybe one has a little bit more bite, but not a great deal. Not a great deal. The photo of the day today is definitely the rosemary skewers that were sent in to Food Friday that we were lucky enough to get here, so we can reflect on how smart of an idea that is and how yummy that looks. And she said, it's not a pretty picture. It's a beautiful picture. Are you kidding me? We love it. We love it.
Where can you go wrong with rosemary skewers and chunks of meat?
I mean, I think it's a serious thing. Heck, my mom just put a slice of cheese on a slice of bread, stuck it in the microwave for 12 seconds, folded in a half, and said, I'll see you at supper.
Where's the grilled part?
You had the Capri Sun in one hand and the folded cheese sandwich in the other, right?
See, it's the same thing. Here, take this. Come back when the street lights come on. You know, that's the way it was at our house.
We didn't have street lights.
We had one.
You lived in a dome, right, with heated pools?
No, he did.
It's like Truman Show.
It might have been a log cabin. And there was a pole light, but it wasn't a street light.
Well,
it's different.
You see, that ages you, a pole light.
Yeah,
light.
By the time they put, you know, I lived at the end of a dead-end street, so by the time they put a light at the next corner, because we faced the levee, so there wasn't really a whole lot to light up anyway, it became a real target for everybody that had a BB gun. But I won't talk about that. I'll just tell you that this has just been a joy, Mark. Thank you so much for
being
here.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you, Lance. We'll see you next week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing The Garden Mama Show. We are agriculture, the number one industry in Mississippi.
We are 180,000 member families strong, a century of generations. We are grassroots Mississippi in all 82 counties. We are Unified, the largest general farm organization in Mississippi. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Propane heats and lights up our life, but being propane safe is vital to our peace of mind. Protect your loved ones with professional installation and propane inspection. Don't cut corners by having a family friend install. Contact your propane provider and stay safe. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more about the many uses of propane. That's mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
It's tax.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.